Well, a very blessed Veterans Day weekend to you, and it is a Friday, so it's Fridays at the Free, as we bring you Big Noon Sports live from Innisfree right here at the edge of campus on University as you head into downtown Tuscaloosa. We've got the Lucky Lunch going on, a fabulous meet and three. They got burgers, they got beer, they got any possible libation you can think of. So drop by and see us. I know the game is in Kentucky, but not everybody's going to Lexington. So those of you that aren't and in Tuscaloosa, please drop by and see us. We have quite a crew with us here today, Lars. You want to do the intros?
We got Robbie Glenn, former Alabama baseball player, Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama broker, and of course, the one, the only,
Peyton.
My student, Peyton.
Peyton Davis. Peyton, a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Some could say too much.
Yeah, but a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Hey, number one story right now, what everybody is talking about is will he or won't he, and that is Jim Harbaugh, will he be suspended by the Big Ten? And I'm telling you, this is a very much a developing story, Matt. Michigan is scheduled to leave Detroit for Happy Valley here in about 55 minutes. And as of now, Jim Harbaugh is still with his team. And his attorney has told multiple reporters that I'm confident that Jim Harbaugh is going to be on that plane one way or another. And we're just waiting for the Big Ten to come down with at least the first announcement of a punishment for Michigan and the sign-stealing scandal and accusations. And my gut tells me that there could be some sort of negotiation going on between Michigan officials and Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti to see if they can come to an agreement of some sort of penalty, which could be it could be monetary. And we've heard as much as $1 million, or it could be that Jim Harbaugh misses one game, two games, three games. We'll have to wait and see. What does seem clear at this point, Matt, is that Michigan is not going to be ruled ineligible to play in the Big Ten championship game should they qualify for it. And also it appears that they will not be ineligible to participate in the college football playoffs.
Even though Big Ten and Michigan are butting heads here, neither one of those schools' entities wants to eliminate the Wolverines from the playoffs. They don't want to do that. So you know what? They're going to do everything they can not to. There would have to be a third party, like an NCAA or something like, step in and say, and that's not going to happen. And by the way, one of my little bugaboos today about this is, and you're doing it because it's part of the story, but this countdown to the flight, Big T, I mean, suspend him in the air.
I mean, that's just what everybody is.
They're just using it as
Heather Dinich, she came out with this really breaking news report that Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, they have to go through security at Detroit International Airport. Thank you, Heather. Appreciate that.
Do you have pictures?
That was good stuff. Robbie Glenn, what is your take on Michigan, and what do you think an appropriate punishment should be?
And I'm one of those. I'm so tired of hearing about it. I really don't care. Harbaugh's been doing this since I think he came into the league. And I hate it's taken away from the biggest game that they're going to have tomorrow. Finally, they're going to play a good opponent, and we're going to see what Michigan's all about. But now we're having to deal with, are they going to have their coach or not? I don't think – I mean, he should be suspended, but it should have been done right when they found all this out. So now it's not. Let's just play. Let's focus on the game, and let's deal with it when it's over with. And I just want to see a great game tomorrow. I want to see what Michigan's all about, if they can play good in Penn State.
Peyton Davis, junior at Alabama, who's done just such a great job every Friday on this show, giving us perspective of students. And also, you're in my sports writing class, and really appreciate you taking the time every Friday to be with us. What do you think? And also, How do you think Greg Sankey would be handling this if this were to happen in the SEC conference?
Well, you saw Desmond Howard said that if this were Alabama, then, you know, the SEC would already be done. It wouldn't happen. Nothing would come up.
Yeah, that's to me, I saw that. I saw Desmond Howard say that, too. And that is just deflection.
From a homer. But it's becoming more clear to me as, you know, days go by that they're going to get some sort of suspension this season during the year, which is going to be very interesting. And to Robbie's point, I mean, they go into Happy Valley. It's, you know, an 11 a.m. game or a noon game, big noon kickoff. And they're playing
not
the biggest
big noon
game.
Sports, big noon kickoff.
Right, big noon kickoff.
Bigger and badder.
Yeah. But they're playing their biggest game to date, and I want to see how they handle that because it's a lot of external noise. And it's, I mean, Penn State, maybe not a very explosive offense, kind of has trouble being consistent in the passing game and putting together drives, but still a dangerous team with a really good defense on the road. I'm very excited to see how Michigan handles that. I think that's the biggest thing here.
Laura Lee, I want to just talk football. How about you? How about Alabama going to Kentucky? What are you thinking here?
I'm thinking, well, as long as they didn't listen to all this rat poison, you know, that they need to go to Lexington and take care of business, and I think they will. I've been to Lexington. We're not going this time, but I love going to Lexington. What a great town.
It is a good town.
Have you ever been there for a game?
Several times. Been there for basketball. I've never actually been to Commonwealth Stadium. But is it? It's a nice place, I assume?
Yeah. Well,
it's a smaller.
Yes, it's smaller. But, I mean, the town itself is nice. There are nice places to eat. It's a nice football weekend, and the fans are not, you know, rabid fans for football. Everybody's real pleasant, so I've enjoyed going there.
Have you been to every venue or every away game that Alabama's played in the SEC? Have you been to every other SEC school? I'm trying to really spit this out in a very inarticulate way.
Well, I have not, believe it or not, I have not been to the Swamp.
Haven't been to the Swamp. Okay. I have. Not the greatest stadium in the world.
Well, it was and too not the, early. Yeah. Wasn't that last year?
My question is, what is your favorite place to go?
LSU.
LSU.
Me too.
Without a doubt.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like Baton Rouge myself.
Well, you're a Louisiana kid. You're not going going home.
No. Baton Rouge is a hole.
Yeah.
We stay in New Orleans, and we go over.
It's a great town.
Yeah. It's fun because the alumni, the Alabama alumni, and we're on the list for the New Orleans Alabama alumni, they rent buses. And we get on the buses, and when we hit the Baton Rouge city limits, we are escorted by the police straight into the stadium. So we're not stuck in traffic or anything.
I've done that.
And it's the only way to go ever since they expanded their stadium and took all that parking. Everybody used to park in the fields and stuff, and you can't do that anymore. And now it's you can't get in there. So that's the only way to go into LSU. But I love the stadium, love the atmosphere. The fans are always really
nice.
Yeah,
they're
nice
great.
To us.
Before
the game, they're all cooking their jambalaya and all that. And they always want to make sure we're all well fed and all of that. So it was fun. There were some LSU folks at a friend of mine's tailgate last weekend with his big pot that see cooking. Oh my gosh, the food was
doing
so
that
good.
Low country boil with a shrimp and a sausage.
Well, he did pastelaya, and then he had fried catfish, and I don't like catfish. And I ate it, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
You and Lars, not the big catfish fans.
No.
So.
Hey, Robbie, sorry, go ahead, man.
No, I was just going to tell you, we need to go to break, but I was just going to tell you that the bus rides to and from New Orleans are more fun than adults should be able to have.
Oh, it's really.
I want to take the train.
Especially train when we're going through and all the LSU fans realize it's Alabama alumni and they're communicating with the finger.
Yeah.
And with other sounds objects. Very on brand with LSU right there.
Yeah. Hey, we're at Innisfree. It's a Friday place to be. Come by and see us. We'll be here in two. Of course, they're going to have all the games all weekend long, so it's the place to be this weekend as you listen to Big Noon Sports.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
Finding Haley Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tied as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at LauraLee@TheBamaBroker.com. That's LauraLee@TheBamaBroker.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather. Cloudy and cool with periods of rain this afternoon and tonight. The high today 67, tonight's low 52. Very cool over the weekend, cloudy with some rain at times tomorrow and Sunday. Highs between 58 and 61. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 60 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
More Big Noon Sports coming up.
We are live from the Friday place to be. That's the free Innisfree Irish Pub. Wonderful selection of lunches, and in addition to all the beers, drop by and have lunch with us. Those of you who are not already headed to Lexington. Lexington, tomorrow's weather will be sunny and a high of 57. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good weather. So a lot of people are headed up that way. If you're not, you need to head down to Innisfree. What I find very, very interesting as the season continues to grow is how absolutely captivated Alabama fans are going to be with other games. And there are, like, I've got my count at around 7 games that we're really going to be interested in. The first one would have to be Michigan and Penn State, and that's not just for the rankings. That's also, eyes are going to be on the Wolverines. Peyton, because of what they're putting on us.
Yeah, how do they respond? And you know, it's a tough environment. It's a tough crowd there. And there's to your point, I mean, a lot of games are going to impact the way this thing's going to look for Alabama in a few weeks, because even if they keep winning, probably, I mean, if it comes down to Texas and Alabama, I mean, they have the head-to-head win. So it's going to be, I mean, you can't imagine them, the committee, holding out a one-loss SEC champion. But we look at these scenarios, and it can get a little dicey.
Yeah. What do you like in that game, Robbie? Michigan, Penn State. It's
with all the stuff going on over Michigan's head, Penn State at home is tough, and I don't think Michigan's been challenged yet, so I don't know what they're going to show up to. I like Penn State.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a challenge for Michigan, and you're right. You go back and you look at their schedule, they have not played a daunting opponent, a legit sort of top 10 opponent yet. How important is it to have the head coach on the sideline? Because does it make that much of a difference? And Matt and I were talking about this on the way here this morning. Does it make that much of a difference, Robbie, if Jim Harbaugh is on the sideline or not, because at this point the game plan has been installed, the players know what to do, and the head coach during the game, yes, he's going to make a few important decisions, right? Whether to go for a fourth and one, kick a field goal, punt, whatever. Does it really make that much of a difference?
Yeah, it does. Like you just said, there's going to be times when you got to make those decisions, and he's going to make those, and he's been doing that his whole career. I mean, picture Saban not being on the sideline for us on a big game. Yeah, we have some great assistant coaches, but he's always going to be the one keeping them in check. If he doesn't like the way the game plan's going, then he's going to adjust it and have them adjust it. So, yeah, you got to have your head coach there.
May I give you a perfect example, and it was a part of a conversation that Lars were having on the way over here. Alabama, Clemson, national championship. Who called for the onside kick? Nick Saban. That, Larley, that changed the whole game. Alabama does not, in my opinion, Alabama does not win that game if Nick Saban doesn't make that call.
Well, it did change everything. It just, the momentum, you know. It was a brilliant call. And I think it does matter. We have played game without Saban on the sideline.
Had COVID.
Yeah. So we've been through that. Harbaugh, I think it'll be interesting. And yes, I mean, it's a big game, but you know what? By all the evidence, they did the deed. So they have to pay the price.
You know what I would love to see? Because Michigan is about ready to get on their plane in Detroit. I'd love for Harbaugh to be the last guy to get on and pull up President Nixon. Nixon is getting on Marine One. Right, he boards for the last time when he's leaving the White House, and he turns around and he flashes the peace sign and waves goodbye and gets in.
I am not a crook.
Come on, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes, it would be awesome. Or he could just pull the full moon. or he could pull a Gerald Ford and just fall all the way back down to the tarmac. Which, by the way, him being considered a klutz of a man is just not true. He's the best football player in the White House ever.
Yeah, probably the best athlete in the White House ever.
Yeah.
But
there are other games, guys.
Yeah.
And I guess we can just kind of select a few and go through them. But
this is a great weekend of college football.
Yeah, Lee, you know the game. Georgia Ole Miss, I want your thoughts on this. Can Ole Miss go in and pull the upset on Kirby Smart?
Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
Will they? I don't know. It's going to be a good game to watch. The interesting thing is that we've seen Georgia be vulnerable, and we've seen them play well. So it's like, which team's going to show up?
Vegas doesn't think it's going to be very close. I think the line's at like 10.5, 11, something like that. I mean, you'd like to see Ole Miss go in there and at least make it a game, but it all starts on the defensive side of the ball. Can they keep Carson Beck off the field and then respond? Because they're going to have to answer a few times, I feel like. And Lane Kiffin in these big games hasn't been fantastic at his career at Ole Miss. So,
is this the biggest game for Ole Miss in a decade?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, they're top 10. Yeah. One loss.
Yeah, you know, if they beat Georgia, could they leap Alabama?
No.
Even though Alabama beat them?
No.
There's a lot of jumping around here.
There's so much confusion there, because if Ole Miss loses, that hurts our strength of schedule, or does it help us to beat Georgia at the end of the season?
Right, because it looks like it's going to come down to something like that. Like a win like against number one Georgia, they're number one. I don't care about Ohio State being number one. Georgia's the best team, the team to beat in the country. If you beat them undefeated at the end, then you can have a chance to hop Oregon after that, because Oregon's in front of Alabama right now, surprisingly to many, but still are. The committee obviously values their the way they've looked, top 15 on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, but their schedule just doesn't bear out. Alabama's beating three ranked teams in the SEC.
That's why it's so shocking that they're ahead of us.
Yeah.
You know?
But, obviously, a lot of these things can shake out, Lars.
Obviously, Ole Miss is going to be pulling for Kentucky to upset Alabama, and this game will take place before Ole Miss takes the field against Georgia. And that, give them a boost. But I know, Laura Lee, Alabama's not going to lose.
No.
You're giving me the death stare. whenever I mention the possibility of Alabama losing. But Georgia, you know, they've tied a school record, winning 24 straight games at home. They've won 12 in a row at Sanford Stadium against teams ranked in the AP poll. And they have a good thing going. And it seems like even though they weren't completely dominant against Missouri last week, it seems like Georgia's getting better week in and week out. Brock Bowers, is he game time decision?
I don't think he's playing.
I don't think he's playing either.
When was the last time Georgia lost in Sanford Stadium? It's been so long. Their last regular season loss was
4 years
here in COVID.
When's the last time they lost?
Right. Yeah.
Against Alabama.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Robbie, do you give Ole Miss a chance?
Yeah, I always give them a chance. I mean, they got some good players. But, you know, Kirby is defensive, you know, minded coach, yep. And he will be ready for whatever Lane has. And then again, Lane's going to probably do some things to try and trick him, and sometimes that gets him in trouble.
Yeah.
I just think Georgia's too strong defensively, and they're going to shut him down.
It's just tough to answer so many times, especially the way Georgia's been playing offensively lately. For Ole Miss, even though they have a really explosive, nice offense this year, I think it's the best one they've had in a while. Mm-hmm. But it's just going to be tough for them to be consistent against a defense coached by Kirby Smart.
Yeah, and Ole Miss is kind of in the same situation that Alabama is in, going to Lexington this weekend, where Alabama hasn't played in a decade. The Rebels haven't played at Sanford Stadium.
And they won that last time.
Yeah, since 2012. It's interesting. It's been a long time. And Georgia's won 10 of the last 11 in the series. It is going to be a tall order for Ole Miss, but it's a really big game on 6 o'clock Central Time on ESPN, Matt.
A lot of other games that can have influence on the way this season wraps up as far as college football playoffs are concerned. They have here on this list Ohio State at Michigan State. I don't think that's going to have is how bad the Spartans get crushed.
It's a lost season for Sparty, I think.
So.
And I beat Nebraska last week. But
I think there are others that are very intriguing. Washington at Utah.
That's going to be a tough one.
Actually, I'm not sure that's at.
I think it's in Washington.
Utah at Washington.
It changes it a lot.
It changes the whole way you think about it. It kicks off at 10:30 Central.
What?
No, I'm seeing it 2:30 Central. Gotcha. Yeah, 2:30 gotcha. Central. Yeah, Utah 7-2. Washington undefeated at 9-0. And look, you go back and you examine what happened when Utah played Oregon, and they got blown out 35-6. Utah is not a team that is built to play from behind. And so,
especially no Cam Rising, that's been a big thing for them this year.
You're so right.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Lost a lot of explosion there.
And obviously, Matt, Heisman voters are going to be watching this game, see how Michael Penix Jr. does. And again, he's going against a pretty tough Utah defense. Utah did beat Florida, seems like a long time ago now, back in early September. But I think the key to this game is going to be, can Utah put up enough points to stick with Washington? And I don't think they can.
I don't think they can either. I like Utah. I always have. Utah to be in the Pac-12, I think they're more like an SEC team. I think they could play in this
scrimmage,
conference. They're a line of scrimmage football team. But, you know, the things I've seen out of both Oregon and Washington through their quarterbacks are just, man. And are they headed to the Pac-12 playoffs? Championship game once again, I would think so.
That'd be interesting because Oregon feels like the better team right now, even though they lost. That was a game where they outplayed Washington and outgained them and all that. Yeah, they should have won that.
All right. Hey, we're coming to you. Fridays at the Free. We are at Innis Free Irish Pub right here in Tuscaloosa, top of the strip. Drop by and see us, have some lunch and a cold beer, and we will be here in two, but they're here all weekend.
This is the Big Noon Sports Network.
FSU.
Hey, we are coming back. We are back. We are live at Innisfree, the Friday place to be, but it's the place to be. I guess I'm really showing my age. I remember when Innisfree opened. It was 25 years ago. Peyton wasn't...
Wasn't born yet.
He wasn't a thought in anybody's mind yet. But anyway, this is a great place to be. Come by and have lunch with us and stay for the whole weekend, literally. All right, Lars, pick another game that's going to have great influence or could have influence on Alabama advancing and getting into the Final Four.
Well, I'm really interested in USC Oregon. This doesn't necessarily impact Alabama, but it impacts a kid from Alabama, and that is Bo Nix. USC was just horrible last week against Washington, losing 52-42. They fired their defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch, and you saw after the game, Caleb Williams, who we've been kind of harsh on this year, just for some of his comments that both he and his father have made about, hey, we're going to make more money by coming back to play for USC next year via NIL, then go play for some crappy NFL team. Or if we do go to the NFL, we want an ownership percentage in the team. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. But what happened last week after the game, after losing to Washington, was quite revealing, I thought. Caleb Williams goes into the stands, and he hugs his mother, and he just becomes incredibly emotional. And his mom did her best to kind of shield what was happening from the cameras. And that revealed to me that the kid cares. He cares. And I think that's what you want more than anything out of your quarterback, that it means something to him. And I think that moment may be remembering that moment on Saturday, because I think Caleb Williams is going to play really, really well against Oregon. And also Peyton and I were just talking about this off air, that there is sort of this bounce effect that you get when and we've seen it throughout history. I don't know if it's been documented really well, but when you fire a head coach or a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, it seems like the team where they lose their coach, the next week they play really, really well.
Right, right. And they fired the Grinch just before the holidays, so that's an interesting tidbit. But
we saw it with the with the Raiders.
Yeah, with the Raiders last week, they come out and they're playing.
That's a perfect example.
Yeah, they're firing all cylinders, against the shorthanded New York Giants team. But still, there's something to be said. A few years ago also with John Gruden getting fired from the Raiders, they bring in Rich Bisaccia, their special teams coordinator, and they play really well for the rest of that season. The Saints quarterback, Derek Carnell. But this game's very interesting because Caleb Williams, for all the criticism he's gotten this year, has still played, and the numbers are still monstrous. I mean, he's basically 3,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. He's still an all-time talent in terms of the quarterback position in college, to me. And this is, even though USC has had their issues and all that, if they come out playing a lot better defensively, and Caleb Williams plays some of his best football in one of his last games, that means something at USC, then you could, this is a team that could score with probably anyone in the country because of Lincoln Riley, how good he is as an offensive play caller, and Caleb Williams and some of the guys that they have. So, it's a talented team still. So, I'm not saying upset, but...
Can I say something real quick about Caleb Williams? One more thing, Matt. So, Matt Miller, who is... we used to work together at Bleacher Report. We're buddies. And he's a draft expert now for ESPN, and he's going to be kind of the next Mel Kiper. He called Caleb Williams a generational talent. And so I responded to him over Twitter, the Twitter machine. And I said, so he's a generational talent. Does that mean that he's better than Joe Burrow? When you say generational talent, does it mean is there more than one? Or is the generational talent?
Have more than one.
I've heard just best since Andrew Luck is what I've heard. And, you can have more than one generational talent.
You can have more than one generational talent? I mean, the singular. It's singular. He's a generational talent.
And a generation.
That means he's one.
We're going to get off of the semantics here. I'm going to get to something nobody's going to find very popular. The Caleb Williams crying thing did nothing for me. It just showed me that he was an immature guy, and he's still immature. He absolutely shot his mouth out. He's been a pompous little, you know what, for a long time. And okay, so he showed that emotion. Show it beforehand.
Yeah, and you
be a man then instead of saying it.
The team that drafts him, he wants stake in the team. Like, it's just such a bad look when you're just evaluating the player. He's still, in my opinion, the number one pick of this draft. But, yeah, I mean, it's gone as rough as you could possibly have it, even though he's put up good numbers. It's gone pretty rough this year, though, from just a character standpoint.
Don't count out the Ducks defense. They can play.
They can play. They're as complete a team as there is in the country.
Did the Caleb Williams going in the stands and crying, Laura Lee, did that bring a tear to your eye?
No, it didn't bring a tear to my eye, but I think it humanized him. And, I mean, these players are not robots. And, I mean, he is a good player, and it perhaps he needed to be humbled a little bit.
A lot of it.
I mean, I don't think anybody really cared for what he had to say. And, I mean,
these cringy
young kids are really immature and say things that they just need to zip it. I mean, Saban would have zipped that mouth so quick. You know, and
he wouldn't have said it.
You just don't say that,
No, and so I think he's made some mistakes, but I thought it humanized him, and having seen a mother-son relationship like that,
I'm just a cold-hearted human being. I guess that's tough.
I was upset
I need to face
he lost.
That.
So we needed him to win.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that, too.
I mean, you know, we need him to win this week. It does impact Alabama.
Yeah. Robbie, your thoughts on Caleb Williams?
I was emotional that they lost, too. I was wanting them to win, but that was it. I guess he had a lot built up there. I don't know why and why they had to show it on TV, but... It is what it is. You know, I've gotten emotional at some games, too. You know, my last one, we lost Auburn, and we weren't going to make the SEC my senior year. And you're walking off the field, but I don't know why. He still has football left to play, so I don't know why that hit him so hard that game.
You think USC comes back and plays well this week?
Yeah, I think they will. I think they'll come back, and it's at Oregon. I mean, Oregon's playing. You're going against one of the best right there. You've got to play like that.
I mean, like we said earlier, not a great track record, though, strength of schedule. I mean, they haven't faced an offense.
Yeah, they're going to face somebody who's been battle-tested already. Right. I mean, USC has played some teams. And, I know Utah had some injuries, but I'm thinking they're going to give Washington all they want after that big game they had last week with them. I think Utah's going to come in and hit them
really
in the mouth.
That's really who Alabama needs to be cheering for.
Okay.
Utah.
We're going to be looking to the West Coast.
Utah and Oregon. And USC.
Miami at
Florida
State.
Got to stay up late.
And, Robbie, you made the interesting point when we were talking the other day about we should just keep the playoff teams at four.
It makes it exciting this year. I do like 12 because I like to see some teams that didn't get in, but everyone's going to be watching football this week and next week of games that you wouldn't be watching anyway.
Unless Alabama it was huge. Be Utah fans, right?
Yeah, like we're all watching every of these games to see. Like we're watching Miami, Florida State tomorrow. It's a good rivalry, but if you're not one of those fans, you're not. But you want to see if Florida State survives, if they're going to stay in. You want to see Penn State, Michigan. You want to. You want to see Ole Miss, Georgia. You want to go out to the Pac-12 and see those. You want to see Texas at TCU.
That's another good one.
Yeah, there's a bunch of games that you are so dialed in
makes
for.
A big difference.
You want to watch.
Difference.
A lot of games impact Alabama.
Big time.
Texas, they shouldn't have escaped last week. That was quite an ending. It's a Kansas State Texas game. Kansas State's a pretty good football team. And
they are, and they should have. It kind of reminds me, going back 10 years ago, when Alabama was on the outside looking in, and they needed Iowa State to win. Do y'all remember that?
Oh, yes.
And then And I was at the Baylor-Kansas State game because my daughter had gotten married. And so Karen and I went to the game. And lo and behold, Baylor smacked K-State around. And Alabama's in a similar situation, Robbie. Yep. They've got to have they're not in control of their own destiny, which is scary if you're an Alabama fan because you're used to being.
Yeah, they're not, but they control one destiny tomorrow. That's take care of Kentucky, win the SEC West, and get a shot at Georgia.
You got to beat
Auburn.
So
let's take care of that.
You're in here, but
well, I mean, we got to, but we still, you win tomorrow, you win the West.
Right.
And so it. Matt, we want to take care of that.
Matt, we didn't get your thoughts on USC, Oregon. You like Oregon in this game?
I like Oregon. I just like Oregon all the way around. I know Bo Nix rightfully gets a lot of attention, but Oregon's got a pretty good defense, too. And
the numbers, Caleb Williams, the numbers versus the top defenses aren't great also.
And I know we got to go to break here in a second, but one more quick game that we haven't talked about yet in depth, and that's Miami at Florida State, 2:30 kick on ABC. Peyton, your thoughts?
I think that this is, you know, it's a tough one. A lot of people see Florida State staying alive, beat down, but they've kind of skated by a little bit. You know, the ACC is pretty weak this year. In terms of teams, I mean, you look at the second best team is at North Carolina. They lost back to back weeks against Virginia and Georgia Tech. So, this is one where Miami, I think, has the talent and they can play with Florida State, but it's going to be a matter of like, are they ready? Can Cristobal get them ready to play? It's a big game, I think, for him.
We'll talk more about those games, and then we'll talk more about what's going on across the world of sports, particularly in college football. Lars, I want you to launch a little bit of a discussion about Bryce Young struggling in the NFL, and that was the case again last night. But we are at Innisfree, Friday Place to Be. Come by, have lunch with us.
Laura Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll-tied as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
100.9 Tuscaloosa weather. Cloudy and cool with periods of rain this afternoon and tonight. The high today 67. Tonight's low 52. Very cool over the weekend. Cloudy with some rain at times tomorrow and Sunday. Highs between 58 and 61. I'm James Spann of the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 60 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside. This is Big Noon Sports.
Tasty basket of fried pickles. And that's just one of the many delicious dishes that you can order here at Innisfree. It's Friday. It's a football weekend. So the gang is all here, and we would like to see your smiling face as well. Come by, have lunch, join in the conversation, and have a cold beer or a soda or whatever you desire. Lars, where are we next? Is Texas? Where do we go with Texas? TCU? We didn't talk about that one very much because I don't think a lot of people give TCU a chance of winning this.
Well, let's finish our talk here real quick. I'm sorry, okay. Matt, on Miami, Florida State. And right now, still not sure who is going to start a quarterback for Miami. Most likely it will be Tyler Van Dyke. I think, Mario Cristobal is still just like keeping his, hand close to the vest there. I think Miami really has a puncher's chance here in this game to knock off Florida State. And, Matt, just what have you seen out of, I know we both love the, Florida State quarterback and, we just think the world of him. But do you think Miami's got a chance here?
I think they would have a chance in Miami. And I know Florida State's not the most, imposing place to play, but it can be. And I think it especially is this year because they are that good. But I think Miami has a puncher's chance, a Hail Mary's chance. But I like this Florida State team.
Yeah, I do too. But I think what Miami is going to try to do is they're going to try to run the ball. They're going to try to just pound it. And they average about 176 a game rushing, 5.2 yards a rush, and try to take pressure off their quarterback. And I do think it's going to be Van Dyke. But I think, you know, they're going to have to win special teams. They're going to have to win turnover battle in order to sort of be there late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the run game is a big important factor because Florida State's got, you know, Jared Verse and some guys on the edges that are really good athletes that can get after the quarterback. And Tyler Van Dyke's thrown 10 picks, I'm reading, since the start of October. So that's pretty rough. So you want to make sure that pass rush isn't influencing him too much because he's not really a mobile guy. But he's got a lot of talent. He's got a big arm. You know, that's one where you can get a few chunk plays and make an impact and then, you know, get Florida State on the ropes because Jordan Travis has been a little prone to making mistakes himself. So I think I give Miami a puncher's chance as well.
Robbie, your thoughts?
What is this, the wide right game? I mean, back in the day when all the field goals missing. Yeah, I took that way back. But
I bet Tyler there's always that from
anytime
reading
you have
about
a rivalry
Scott
like that,
Bentley.
Yeah. Anytime you have a rivalry like that, you always got a chance. I mean, it doesn't matter what the record is. And I bet you Miami's kind of glad that they're on the road at Florida State because I think they were getting booed at their own field, and that's not fun. So if they're going to get there, that's going to be hostile. They're going to be excited to play, and if, you know, their season has been a disappointment. So what makes it better? Knock off one of your rivals, one of the teams that's in a playoff hunt. That'd be a great way to finish your season, or, you know, finish strong anyways.
Yeah, so the final big game of the weekend that we haven't really talked about, and that is number 7 Texas going against TCU. And this game has some historical significance because these two teams have met 90 times, or this will be the I think about the 90th meeting since 1897. And with Texas going to the SEC next year, this is the last matchup in the series that at least is on the books right now. Texas off to its best start since 2009, and that's when they played Alabama in the national championship and got KO'd by the Crimson Tide. The Horned Frogs have lost 4 of 5 after a 3-1 start. They're trending in the wrong direction. Now, Sonny Dykes and the crew at Texas, at TCU, they have to win 2 of their last 3 just to make a bowl game. So there's a lot on the line for TCU. We'll see. I mean, and you mentioned this, Peyton, earlier, that yesterday Texas coach Steve Sarkisian announced that Quinn Ewers is going to be back after missing the last 2 games with a shoulder injury. And the thing is, the last 2 games, yes, Texas beat BYU and Kansas State, but they struggled, especially against Kansas State. And I think with Ewers back, and it looks like he is going to be sort of full go, that I think Texas wins this one pretty easily.
Yeah, but, I mean, hey, you know, Quinn Ewers comes back for the first time in a while, and last year, and it's a different TCU team, but Quinn Ewers at home against TCU, who a game that I thought that would end the magic carpet ride for TCU. He played very poorly, and so it's a different TCU team. They lost a lot of talent, transfer portal, tried to bring some guys in, and it hadn't really worked out very well so far. But, you know, for Sonny Dykes, it's a big one because, like you said, they got to win 2 out of 3 to make a bowl game, and after you know, getting shellacked in the national championship last year, still making a national championship, but this year has kind of been a big crash down to earth for them. So a win against Texas at home would be a big morale boost for them.
Texas is a 12.5-point favorite, and TCU has faced only one top 25 team all year, and that was Kansas State. And they got spanked 41-3. All signs point to Texas in this game, Robbie.
Yeah, it is. I think Texas will be fine with this game, even with yours. If he wasn't going to play, they're not going to let this one slip up. I would look more to the next week for them at Iowa State. I
don't know what it is. A sneaky good football team.
I don't know what it is about going to Iowa State. A lot of teams go there and lose. I don't care what their record is.
Big
that
spoiler.
Because they tend to get just physically sick when they see those mustard and ketchup colored uniforms coming.
Maybe that's it. So
I mean,
it's always
windy. Worst uniform in college football.
I've been to Ames, Iowa many times, and it's always windy. It's always cold, and just weird stuff happens in that stadium.
Really.
That's true.
So that's what I'm looking at. So I think they'll survive this week. I don't think it'll be a runaway. I don't know if they'll cover, but I think they'll win.
But another factor, like you said, it's the last one in a long line of a series. Last year, the Battle of Bedlam, you saw Oklahoma State will play with a little more fire and spoil Oklahoma. I mean, they're basically their playoff chances are obviously out the window at this point. So after losing two straight, so. It's another factor. I mean, TCU is not nearly as good as Oklahoma State to me, but something to look at.
Laura Lee, does it surprise you that TCU went from one win away and 15 touchdowns from winning a national championship? They're not good at all. Is it all about Max Duggan? You remember their quarterback?
Well, yeah, I remember.
It was great until he ran into a buzzsaw. But I don't know if I can remember a national championship team that's dropped this far in one year.
Well, I mean, you know, it's tough because with my crimson colored glasses, knowing that we should have been there.
You will circle the wagons for the Crimson Tide in a snowstorm.
Well, I mean, you know, we lost two games, 2 points? I mean, you know, so it's just we were a much better team. So it's hard to look at TCU saying last year's team is a different team from this year's team. I didn't think that they were good enough to be in the Final Four last year, but they were. And so this year they're back to.
Apparently TCU got wind that Michigan was stealing signs,
right.
And so they changed up all their signs before the game, and Michigan wasn't aware of that, and that's why.
I've heard that.
You can use the logic there.
That
on
is
that
the danger of sign stealing. If you know that they've got them and you've got them, you can turn the tables on them. You would not. I mean,
that
baseball?
Happened in baseball.
Sign stealing?
Well, turning the table, like we're just saying, like how it appears that TCU turned the tables on Michigan.
Right.
Does that ever happen in baseball where it's like, oh, you get fake signs, so you think something.
If we think that they have their signals, we might get one back just to
cross
see. Cross them up a little bit to see if they go for it, then we'll know. If they fell for it, then we know, they had our signs. And then that's usually when someone catches one in the ear hole or something like that. But that was back in the day. You're not allowed to do that anymore.
I tell this often. I'll tell it again quickly as we go to the top of the hour. My favorite sign-stealing story, this was back in the 60s, and Koufax was pitching against the Phillies. Now, if y'all remember and have read, Koufax in his prime was pretty much unhittable. But they picked up his signals. Phillies did. And they knew what was coming. He pitched a one-hit shutout anyway. I mean, sometimes your talent's just going to take over, right?
And remember that picture of that thing I sent you of Maddox? He said, I'll tell him what it was coming, and you're still not going to hit me.
Not that 89-mile-an-hour
that just drops out of the zone. You're not going to touch it. So.
No. That's baseball, though. I think it's a little bit different when they all know you're running right.
Yeah, that is a little different.
All right, we need to take a break for Innisfree, and we'll be back with Big Ben Sports.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
from the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles. Here's Nick Cope.
News in the NFL as Cardinals coach Jonathan Gannon announced that quarterback Kyler Murray will start for Arizona as they face the Falcons on Sunday, marking his first action since tearing his ACL last December. Atlanta, by the way, they'll have receiver Drake London back after he missed last week with a groin injury. Bengals coach Zach Taylor ruled out receiver T. Higgins and defensive end Sam Hubbard for Sunday's game against the Texans. Regarding Ja'Marr Chase and his back injury, Taylor said, "We'll see." The Seahawks signed former Rams quarterback Brett Rippon to their practice squad. In the NBA, ESPN reports Trailblazers center Robert Williams will have season-ending knee surgery. And in college football, ESPN reports the Big Ten is expected to announce any potential punishment against Michigan for the sign-stealing scandal at some point today. Wolverines are traveling to Penn State this afternoon for their big matchup on Saturday.
The best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
It is Big Noon Sports. It's a Friday. Friday's at the Free, Innisfree Irish Pub. We are going to be here until 2 o'clock and invite you to come by. The Lucky Lunch is in place, which is a meat and three. It's unbelievable. It's like $9.99, and their vegetables and their entrees are just absolutely fantastic. Urge you to come by. Can't get by here today. Have lunch tomorrow and watch the Tide roll up in Lexington, Kentucky. Lane Kiffin's lawsuit. Is this something that's going to be a bugaboo for him, even going in to Georgia? Now, if you haven't heard what he said, it was taped to a player that he eventually dismissed from the team. I'm just going to have to talk on air and produce on air. Noah, is this airable? Because what he said is one of the big, big no-nos in all of broadcasting. Have you got it cued? Can we play it? Can we make contact?
Earth? No.
Mission control. Sometimes they can play those things and we don't hear them. So anyway, Lars, your thoughts on that? Is moving forward, how do you see this stacking up? And will it eventually hurt Kiffin? I guess it already in a sense has.
I don't think so. I think that that they had been trying to get in touch with this kid for quite a while. And I don't know all the facts.
I really did throw you off the curve.
Yeah, you did. I thought we were going to talk about Bryce Young. But I know that I'm always skeptical when somebody goes to confront somebody else and they have a tape recording device.
Yep. Eric Ramsey.
Yeah, that was...
And then you use... what was said to file a $40 million lawsuit.
It's a great point. Yep.
Yeah, there was other fact. Like, he disappeared for 3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah. Now, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they couldn't get in touch with the kid.
Couldn't get in touch with the kid, and then he shows up, and then, yeah, and he's recording. So that red flag's right there. But a mental thing is nothing to joke about either. And
absolutely
I hate
not.
That if there is an issue that he needs to deal with that, but you don't turn that around to get money and sue a school. And, you know, I'm sure that Lane probably could have handled that a little bit different, but you know he's a hothead, gets frustrated anyways. So, and I had a feeling he probably knew he was being recorded the way he was asking the questions or doing things. That's why he just got him out of his office, if you heard it. He gets pretty irate. It's like, just get out of the office. You're off the team. So I think he kind of noticed he was recording.
Really?
Because he snapped all of a sudden. So he's not just going to snap without... cause like that.
It did seem rather convenient that he immediately had that when his lawsuit was going.
Yep.
And they immediately published
it. He baited him a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he baited him a lot.
He tried to get the kind of the sob story, sort of like everyone kind of rallied on my side.
I'm going to do this, and now I just got
the coach. But the look definitely is bad. I think a lot of people seen through that. So it's definitely not a great look for Lane Kiffin for sure. But. You know, I think people kind of see through some of the stuff.
Well, I think you got to go exactly first and foremost with what Robbie said, and that's mental health is a huge issue in our nation.
Yeah.
And that needs to be addressed first and foremost. But, and I'll word this without saying, you know, you got to have a certain mental capacity to go in there and bait your coach, too.
Exactly.
So was it caused by that, or is he trying to use that? And another thing that's rampant in our country is people using mental health as an issue when it isn't one.
Right.
So you could go on and on and on about it, but the more I talk about it, the more I think about it, I think it's probably going to go away. You think so?
I think so.
Do you hope it does?
Well, the whole thing seems a bit suspect. So I think with what I know of it is that the lawsuit should be dismissed.
I agree. Do you like Kiffin?
Well, I think he's a good coach. I think, just like everybody else, he's an offensive genius. He has done some things in the past that I don't like. Things that happened here in Tuscaloosa, and he, of course, did perhaps cost us a national championship. So I think it's give and take, but you know what? People grow up. And I think it's funny how he trolls some.
I do too.
You know, I think he's got a sense of humor. So there are things about him I like and things about him that I wish were better. But maybe as he gets older, he matures a little bit.
All right, Lars, let's go to the NFL. What happened last night?
I'll just say this. Mississippi is a one-party consent state when it comes to recording
a
conversation. So the recording is legal.
Yes,
so what
absolutely.
He did is legal. However, the kid doesn't show up for 2 weeks. He doesn't respond to the coaching staff. And then he goes and records Lane Kiffin. And yes, mental health is very, very serious. But is this kid the victim? Not sure about that. Not sure how it's going to hold up in court. Okay, yeah. So last night, Carolina against Chicago. What an ugly game. Featured about a gazillion punts. Chicago wins 16-13. And Bryce Young, you know, I really admire him, but he just looked shell-shocked most of the night. Carolina's only touchdown came on a 79-yard punt return against a defense that was 28th in the NFL. Bryce Young was outplayed by some guy named Tyson Bagel, undrafted rookie out of a Division II school who was filling in for the injured Justin Fields. And, you know, I don't want to be like an alarmist here, but are we starting to see that Bryce Young just may not be a special NFL player? Because yes, he looked small on the field at Alabama, but man, you look at him on the field in the NFL and it's like me out there. I mean, it's like he doesn't have a chance. And I know you have a counter argument to this, Robbie, so go ahead.
No, it's not that counter. He's still one of the best players I've ever seen, one of the smartest. Saban said his reaction, even his offensive coordinators, like, he makes reactions and he sees the play before they happen. So that doesn't just go away. Yeah, he's having a bad year. He will be fine. He will regroup. They will get some offensive line around him. They will get some weapons around him. And all of a sudden the game's going to slow down like it did here at Alabama, and he's going to start picking people apart. Do not write him off. He's going to have a great year next year.
Guess he doesn't have a first-round draft pick next year.
Carolina.
Yep. They can still.
Guess who they gave it to?
Chicago.
They can still do some trading.
Think about this. Chicago potentially could have maybe the number one and number three overall picks, and they get Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. Think that would turn around the franchise pretty
quick? I think that would put a lot of eyes on him, for sure.
what are your thoughts on Bryce Young?
Yeah, so it's disappointing because, especially, I think the thing that even makes it more disappointing when you're a guy's as big a fan as Bryce Young as I am, the way C.J. Stroud's playing right now, man, he is, you know, a man on a mission. He's on fire. He's unbelievable. And it's true. He's played unbelievable, right? C.J. Stroud is, he looks like the more physically talented, gifted, bigger arm.
That's because he is.
Because he is. But Bryce, yep. I do agree. The situation he's been thrown in with Adam Thielen and Miles Sanders and an offensive line full of injuries and kind of mishap and then everything's kind of falling apart. It's just kind of gone from bad to worse. And he hasn't played well through it, but the situation has not been favorable for him. So I feel for him, but I definitely say this. I would never write off Bryce Young, and I agree completely with Robbie.
He just Laura doesn't Lee, have what, enough what, talent around him. Just doesn't have the talent. But Lars makes a good point. When are they going to get it?
Right. They don't have that pick. Yeah.
Trades, Robbie?
That's what you said.
Laura Lee.
Also, a team that's drafted poorly. Go ahead, sorry.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, you're correct. I mean, you have to have the people around you. You have to have the offensive line. He's not a one-man team. He was not a one-man team here at Alabama. There were many, many times where he, you know, got us out of a ditch, but you know, he had talent to work with here, and you're not seeing that right now.
He really, at Alabama, to me, he was like the ultimate point guard, right?
Right.
He's distributing the ball and then able to hit it over the top when he needed to, but he had first round talent at wide receiver. And
I thought that also I thought it'd be a lot better early on because I thought the way Bill O'Brien kind of relied on him to make checks at the line of scrimmage, be such a pro, you know, ready, I thought that would make him a lot more pro ready, but so far it's been rough, no question.
It has. I mean, for instance, these are so unlike the numbers you normally read for Bryce. His last night he was 21 of 38, that's 55%, no touchdowns, no picks either. But I think he just needs a better.
That offense is so limited. They don't have any explosion down the field.
Their line, not good.
And the receiving corps, not great. I mean, you're relying on 38-year-old Adam Thielen.
I hope he can survive the season without getting hurt and getting beat up too much. Well,
unfortunately, you just made a really good point. Hey, we are at Innisfree. It's the Friday place to be. Come by and see us as we continue on Big Noon Sports.
Holiday 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy and cool with periods of rain this afternoon and tonight. The high today 67. Tonight's low 52. Very cool over the weekend. Cloudy with some rain at times tomorrow and Sunday. Highs between 58 and 61. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 60 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Hey, whatever the weather, 60 and, it's overcast, a couple of sprinkles, we need them. What we really need is a downpour. And our thoughts and prayers go out to all the first responders that even across the nation in Alabama, but particularly here in Tuscaloosa County, I think I heard on the way over here, there were still 6 or 7 of these fires in progress now. So let's just keep that in mind. And also those that are responding first. Lars and I went into a pretty deep discussion yesterday on how brave firefighters are. How would you just run into burning buildings? How do you run in a forest? I don't. God bless them. Hey, I know Alabama. We're going to talk Alabama, Kentucky in depth here in just a second. But they're going to Lexington, okay? But there are still plenty of places to yell Roll Tide this weekend. Robbie kind of has the list to memory.
Definitely a lot of stuff to hear to do in Tuscaloosa. You got a first round of the soccer playoffs for the women at 5 o'clock, I believe. They are hosting Western Carolina. And I want to make sure that's the right time right here. Hosting first round of the playoffs, 5 p.m. And then women's basketball is hosting Winthrop at 4:30. And then you have the men's basketball doing a doubleheader right behind them with Indiana State coming in. And like to get a good crowds out to all three of those games because they mean a lot. You know, basketball started soon, but they're 1-0, and you want to keep going. but this is playoffs for soccer. So let's go out there and support the women out there and get them advancing.
Much success last year, of course.
As much success they had last year, yeah.
And I see maybe that it's early. I think Bama's women's basketball has kind of turned the corner, and Sarah Lee Barker just lit it up the other night. 23 points. And I've loved watching her play since high school when I watched her win 2 or 3 state championships. She plays as hard as anybody I've ever seen in any sport.
Very, very physical. And yes, that comes from playing against all her brothers that, you know, all play football. So that's what Jay always says. Like, watching them play, it was, she would get in there and mix it up with them. And I saw that in that first game. Won the points, the rebounds, the defensive pressure she was putting on, just everything she did to help that team to win, she was out there. I mean, just giving it all. And that was fun to watch. So let's hope she can do it again today and keep the team rolling.
And the men's, too. So those are really, it's a good reason to be down at Memorial Coliseum. Arch.
All right, here we go. Let's get deep into it. Alabama traveling to Lexington, Kentucky for the first time in a decade. Matt, you and I have been talking about this all week in that I've got friends who live in the area, including our buddy Pat Forty. And I'm telling you, Lexington is really looking forward to seeing Alabama come to town. Is a very big game to Kentucky fans, to the Kentucky program. The crowd is going to be on fire, even though it is a quite early kick, noon Eastern, 11 o'clock here, Central. And so we'll start with you, Peyton. Just what are some of your keys to the game?
Well, so for Kentucky, when you talk about limiting their offense, they're an offense that runs completely through their running back, Ray Davis, who's a physical all-around, good solid player. Running back, good player, and a transfer quarterback from NC State last year, broke a few of Phillip Rivers' records there at NC State, Devin Leary, who hasn't been great this year. He's been a little inconsistent, but he's playing his best football right now. So definitely not a unit you want to take lightly. They've had a few decent wins this year, but I think on defense you can really get after or get them because their secondary is pretty weak. And I think it kind of plays the way like you played LSU last week, where that secondary weakness and all the inexperience that LSU had opened up running lanes for Jalen Reynolds because all the, you know, emphasis they had to put on limiting the big plays and stuff. So I think it'll open up running lanes again for him. And I'm interested to see the way Jalen Milroe comes out because he's getting more hype now than he had gotten before. And people are starting to be like, this guy's really, really electric and explosive, which is very true. And he's playing his best ball right now. So interested to see how he comes out. It feels like a sloppy, could be a sloppy sort of tough game, kind of grind it out early, but I think Alabama pulls away late.
Yeah, definitely. Milroe is playing at an all-time high right now. He's coming off that big game. He wants to show everybody that he is for real. Wasn't a fluke. I think the team is going to rally. It's an 11 o'clock game. They're not going to, you talked about it yesterday, you're not going to sit around the hotel and be bored and laying around. You want to get out there. And I talked to one of the Coach Chapman. He's like, you want to get that game in early, kick their butt, and get back to Tuscaloosa and have a good time. So that's what their goal is. There's a lot of factors. You got the number 2 running back in the SEC. Bama's going to love to shut him down. That's going to be a goal of focus right there. Yeah. They want to stop him. You're not dealing with a dual threat quarterback like you had with Danielson. So you're going to focus on trying to stop him on his pass. They can do some one-on-one with they got good receivers, but they'll be able to shut that down and not have to look over their shoulder at a quarterback taking off running for, you know, 50, 60 yards. They're going to sit back and just lay back and hit some people. Plus they know that Georgia stopped them for 54 yards rushing. They like to compare and say that they're better in Georgia. This is what you do. We're going to shut them down for about 40 yards. We're not going to let them get to 1,000.
And that kills their offense completely. If you can stop that run, they're going to force Devin Leary to throw. He's pretty inefficient at times.
Yeah, speaking of Devin Leary, I'll start with you, Peyton. What do you think of him? So far this year, he's thrown for over 1,900 yards, 18 touchdowns. I think he threw for over 350 against Tennessee.
Yeah, that was his most impressive game.
Yeah, sure. I mean, this kid's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player, and I thought it was going to go a lot better this year, honestly. Early on in the season, I thought they were kind of a little sneaky, but the 57% completion percentage or whatever it is, I believe it's 57.4, and that's just, like, that's not efficient football when you're not going to be able to run the ball on everyone, especially in the SEC. But, yeah, he's a good player for sure. I mean, he's 5 years, fifth year now. He's got a lot of experience, so solid all around quarterback, I'd say.
I mean, they're going to be ready to play. I mean, Kentucky's going to come ready to play. It's in their parts. Our last home game, I think they're on the road the last two games. So they're going to be excited until Bama knocks them in the mouth. I expect Bama to show their size, their strength, and push them around and show them that they're back, and also give the board, you know, the panel a little something to vote for them on Tuesday.
Laura Lee, what do you think Alabama needs to do? Give me two or three keys to beating Kentucky on the road.
Well, first of all, when you look at the two quarterbacks of Milroe versus Cleary, is that Milroe's more dynamic.
Night and day. Way more.
Way more dynamic. And so he has that scrambling ability. We saw what he could do last week, finally, some quarterback designed runs, and he was making some better decisions. And I think that's going to be one of the points right there, is I think our quarterback's better than theirs by far. And I think Milroe wants to go on the road and show everybody last week was not a fluke. Our linebackers, we'll see how that works out.
No Deontay Lawson.
No so. Lawson.
Yeah. And so, but Key's out too.
Christian Story was not the answer last week, but maybe
Devontae Smith may be coming back soon. Yeah. Not Devontae Smith, this Devontae Smith, the same
one. Yeah. But, I think Story might be a better fit a bit against Kentucky than he was LSU. So we'll see. I'm sure they've worked on that this week. So I just feel like the lines are fairly equal, opposite each other. But I think Alabama's going to get it done. I mean, we have better players. Ultimately, it's going to come down to, I think we have the talent and they don't quite have it.
Matt, I want to ask you to take the contrarian view here. And what is Kentucky's path to pulling off the upset?
Well, I think Alabama has to help them. I really do believe that. Turnovers, you know, if they could get Alabama to force, you know, to turn the ball over a couple of times, and particularly if it's convenient. I also think that Kentucky crowd is going to be jacked up. I'd like to see Alabama score on their first possession, which y'all remember like last year and last 10 years. We score our first possession like 95% of the time. So I think that. But again, I'll go back to my original statement. Let's face it, y'all. Talent for talent, position by position, Alabama is much better than Kentucky. Yep. I say much better. They are better. Pound for pound, Alabama's the better football team. So just go mano-a-mano. I would really like to see Alabama establish the run. I really like how we talk about how Reese has put in these plays, the RPOs and the runs for Milroe. I really like the way he's been using our backs.
Yep.
You notice? Mm-hmm. They've been getting 4 and 5 a pop. And he's been – and I love his rotation between Williams and McClellan. Do y'all notice?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's third down situation, but, you know – I think he's almost substituting on a play call.
Yeah.
Do y'all?
Yeah.
Because they're 2 and 5, which sometimes it's hard to notice, especially if you're older like me. But you'll see, okay, which one's in, what play, and then they'll rip one off for 5 or 6 yards. And they know when to dump it off into the flats with them. So I really like this team, the way they've progressed. But back to my original statement, Alabama has to help Kentucky win.
Yeah, and I think Kentucky needs to withstand Alabama's barrage right at the beginning of the game and try to establish the run, keep it close, and because Alabama's been so good in the second half, limited LSU to 7 points, completely shut them down. And from Alabama's perspective, I think you want to see the offense, which has put together 6 straight quarters of really good football, just keep that going. And then you go into next week playing an inferior opponent, and you kind of get ready for the final stretch of the season. So I think from Alabama's perspective, you do want to come out and put points on the board right away and try to make sure that Kentucky doesn't stick around. and you have a big advantage going into halftime, and you get those, get that crowd to disperse at, you know, with 5 minutes left in the third quarter.
I think something interesting also, I think you said a few weeks ago, Lars, it was, we're talking about Tommy Reed's usage of Jalen Miller in the running game. It was like, well, we've seen what we have behind him, so you got to, like, take into account the wear and tear that puts on him. I think now they're kind of ready to unlock it.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
a whole different level to this
that's
offense.
That's what they did on Saturday,
yeah,
right?
I mean, Jalen Miller had been averaging, I think, 20 rushing yards a game going into that that football game, and he put up, 150, 60. Four touchdowns. He's got that ability, and I think they're going to start to unlock it even more. Brings in a whole new dynamic to this offense.
Yeah. By chance, you can't get by, and it's free, the Friday place to be. You can join us on the phones at 205-342-9904. It's Laura Lee, it's Peyton, it's Robbie, it's Matt, Lars. We are all here, and we welcome you to come by. We just ordered our meat and three, and it is fabulous. So come see us. It's the Friday place to be, and it's free.
Championship.
Heading for the pylon. Get the race. Win the race. Touchdown, Alabama.
Built by Bama. The Crimson Tide play here. Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to Lexington to battle Kentucky. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football.
Brought to you by Birmingham Racecourse. BirminghamRacecourse.com. You can be a winner, too.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
It'd be a lot. Like Christmas coming around, it's going to be nice.
I mean, like, dude, you can be for a semester.
Yeah. It's big.
Your host here fell asleep at the wheel. Now, we are back at Innis Free, the Friday place to be. Our entire gang is here, and we'd love to see you as well. Can't make it by today. Certainly come by tonight or tomorrow and watch Alabama at Kentucky. Now, speaking of Alabama, we were talking basketball a little while ago. I read and then I saw the highlights, and one of which was just unbelievable, this power dunk that Grant Nelson displayed, where he came off the wing and took a couple of steps. He's 6'11". Literally, that's what
put the ball on the floor.
But and he got up. I mean, 6'11", you don't have to get up too high to dunk it. Mm-hmm. His arm was up at the top of the backboard. And he came. You were there.
Yeah.
Laura Lee, you were there.
Yeah.
Did you go crazy? I would have.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was interesting because I think we're all, after last year's team, wanting to see, okay, what's this year's team going to look like, because it's going to be all different. Well, except for three players.
Yeah.
So it was, and of course it's hard to tell against Morehead State, but
pretty
it was,
good team, Morehead State. Yeah. Decent really mid-ranger, team. Maybe, you know, could make a tournament.
Won their league last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, I think we're going to have a pretty good team. I can't wait to watch tonight, to go tonight, play in Indiana State, and continue to see how this team, you know, like last year, you would have different players step up for different games and score big. And so it's, you know, in the beginning of this season, trying to figure out who's the guy or who's the guy this game. And we have plenty of guys to be the guy, and we have the depth too. So I was really excited to see that.
Peyton, what were your impressions?
So, you know, when you compare it to how good the team was last year, and it, all these guys that Laura Lee's talking about were, most of them were freshmen. You know, Noah Clowney, Brandon Miller, obviously. And so when you're trying to win a championship at the college basketball level and, you know, on the NCAA tournament, how hard that is, being dependent on freshmen, even though Brandon Miller, I mean, the best player in the history of the school probably, but he is, I mean, he's a freshman. I mean, his last game he shot 3 for 19 or whatever it was. I mean, it's tough to win a championship when you're dependent on young guys like that. Now, Grant Nelson is a, I think, third, fourth year. This is his fourth year in college, I believe. Aaron Estrada is fifth year coming from Hofstra. And then Mark Sears, obviously, I think fourth or fifth year as well for him too. So you lose Javon Quinterly, but you, the depth that you're talking about, I think it's going to be a lot more efficient offensively, especially shooting the three ball, because the last 2 years have been kind of inefficient. Defensively, though, I'm worried about. I wish that Charles Bediako could have come back because of how good a rim protector is he. I mean, he was the best in the country last year down the stretch. One of our best players, and he's gone. That hurts, but I think there's a lot of – I mean, there's sure
– Jaren
Stevenson, that guy's – Nate Oates poaches this guy from North Carolina.
Yeah.
And he lived 20 minutes away from UNC. I mean, that's just crazy level of recruiting to me. But, yeah, really exciting to see that, but – I think it's going to be a really good team. Interested to see how they develop on the defensive side of the ball, though.
You know, one of the things that is going to grow Alabama and continue in its path under Nate Oates, and he's showing it this year, he has so many new faces, but he's got three guys that he's starting that he deserve to start, have been with the program. And then here comes transfers in. You know what transfers do? They take slots.
Yep.
You know, the guys that were on the bench last year expecting to play, well, now you got Estrada and you've got Nelson coming in. To be able to continue to have those other guys that got replaced, continue to have them wear it out in practice, help the team, that's a big deal. And it is a deal that I think some coaches are much better at than others. And Nate Oates appears to know the transfer portal and knows how to coach them. And that's basketball of the future, is it not, yep. Lars?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the key piece to this team is going to be Grant Nelson. And after one game, he's already my favorite player in college basketball. You know, Matt and I have been talking a lot this week about the crowd at Bryant Denny Stadium, Laura Lee, and just how loud it's been the past 2 weeks.
Have you noticed
a difference ever since Nick Saban came out before the Tennessee game and said, hey, we need you guys?
Well, yes. And I mean, and it was really loud. I know everybody talked about it, especially when Terrion caught the interception and how all of that. But in general, it's nice. It's great. It's awesome to hear it that loud and to be able to stand up, especially where I sit, being able to yell and kind of stand up, whereas maybe they don't want us to, you know, people around us don't want to do that. But
do people ever try to make small talk with you during a game? Like even if it's an away game, like I know you said you're not going to travel to Lexington and you're watching the game, and does somebody ever try to talk to you? And is that a bad idea?
It's a bad idea.
Okay.
And
duly noted.
I have a headset on anyway, and if you're, because I listen to.
Oh, you have the headset on. You're totally engaged.
So, no one asked you about the housing market during the games?
You're talking
about it. No.
Are you in Nick's head telling what play to call?
You got a special frequency?
Yeah. Run the play.
Yeah.
Run the ball.
Damn ball.
Run the ball.
Yeah, so even with the crowd, I had to turn my volume all the way up to be able to hear just a little bit. Not, you know, I'm tuning them out sometimes, but, yeah, I'm not there to socialize.
But, of course not.
You know, that's a different game, but, most of the games, no.
What did you see from the crowd?
I think it's just, it was loud during Texas, but it's smart loud now. It's like you're yelling when they're trying to get the play in. At the beginning of the plays, when these teams are going fast, you heard at the Texas game, people just, like the,
the energy come out of the building when they were going fast. This time, it's more calculated and smart, and I do think that's because of myself, educating the people around.
There you go.
Oh, that's
good job. Well, you really get credit for both wins.
I mean, people said that I was, I mean, last week, I mean, it means a lot more to me being from Louisiana and just despising LSU. People were telling me that I'm terrible to watch games with because I was being so crazy. So
I've started watching games in my house by myself, you know, because this inane chatter that's not related to a game just drives me crazy. If you're watching with other people and they're paying attention, that's fine. But when I've been to games recently, and here's Matt, get out of my yard, kids. They play such music so loud between plays, you can't even really talk to each other.
Oh, well. I turned the volume off, but I mean, that's just part of being at the game.
But that's not the way it used to be. Used to. They didn't play songs.
You know, like the light show and stuff like that?
I think it's fun.
The light show's cool.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
I'm a TV guy. That messes with your f-stop and your camera's so bad.
Yeah.
Did you see how it turned LSU's colors? Their gold was more of an orange, and their purple was more of a blue
because of the way the light
ground level and the pattern. Mm-hmm. It just went. Wait, did they change stations? Yeah. Is Alabama playing somebody else? But no, I liked it when you were at the game, you could sit in the stands with other people, and between plays, you'd say, "Well, what do we need to do now?" Now you go, "What do we need to do now?"
We want it loud, but my wife and her friends all went to the game, took the tickets, and we had one Auburn fan with them in the crowd. Of course, wore neutral sites. I told her if she wore Auburn, would never go again. She was blown away. Never been in the stadium. How loud it was, the light show, everything. She was like, she had a great time. She started clapping and yelling for Alabama. She did not say Roll Tide, but she said it was one of the best times she's had, and she's been to a lot of Auburn games. Said it was a great crowd. So that's a good thing to hear.
It's been a while since I've been to one. I'm going to go to UTC. And I'll give you a report on what it's like to watch the game.
Probably won't be very loud then.
Yeah, it won't be as loud.
See, Matt and I, we're smart. Like, we go to, like, the early kickoff. We go to where the traffic might not be so bad. I mean, between the two of us, we have probably covered, a thousand football
goes,
games.
The older I feel.
It's still senior 500. Day, so it'll be a crowd there.
Yeah.
I think it'll be full to just below the brim, I would think.
Wouldn't you? Is there, among the students, Peyton, if you are now seen leaving in the third quarter, is there
I'll tell people to their face, I'm like, that's ridiculous, man. People are saying, this is my first Alabama game. I'm like, one of my friends are juniors. And I'm like, come on, man. I don't want to hear that. If you're here for this. This is what it's all about. Not school, not your class.
Yeah,
of course
not.
It's all about Bryant-Denny Stadium.
I've mentioned this to you before, but when my niece lives in Washington, D.C., she came and I took her to Reese Pfeiffer, the building that I teach in, which is right next to Bryant-Denny. We're staying outside of Reese Pfeiffer, and she looks at Reese Pfeiffer, and she looks at Bryant-Denny, looks at Reese Pfeiffer, Bryant-Denny, and then she looks at me, she's like, well, I guess I know what's important at Alabama.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Roll Tide.
It's always been that way.
All right. We're going to wrap up the show here in a minute, and you're still welcome. Drop by. What did you order? Did you go with the sausage?
I went the Kaneka sausage. Yeah.
Shepherd's pie last week, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all good.
You had shepherd's pie, too.
Yeah, that's the second time I've ordered.
They accidentally gave you a double.
I think that's their regular serving because they did that before.
Serving. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But,
double dose.
That was pretty good. What'd you order? Chicken wrap.
Yeah.
You're just like the Nick Saban of Innisfree.
Yeah, I am.
You order the same thing.
Hey, if you love something, why not stick with it?
Don't like change.
Yep. All right, let's take our final break, and we'll be back with more live. Big Noon Sports is at Innisfree, the Friday place to be.
go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody. It's Gary Harris. Friday, it's the big show, the TGIF edition of the Gary Harris Show. Always a lot of fun. Adam Amin from Fox Sports. Brett Pritchard will be in with the Auburn Report. And, of course, Bama football trivia from T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery and University Mall. We're going to give away another great prize. See you on Friday at 9 on the Gary Harris Show.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll-tied as Houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy and cool with periods of rain this afternoon and tonight. The high today 67, tonight's low 52. Very cool over the weekend. Cloudy with some rain at times tomorrow and Sunday. Highs between 58 and 61. I'm James Spann of the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 60 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
More Big Noon Sports coming up.
Be right now as we wrap up our live broadcast Fridays during football season. We are at the Free, and you can drop by here the rest of the day, all weekend long, and into next week. 25 years it has been University of Alabama or Tuscaloosa's best bar. 25 years to stay in the bar business is just an extremely large number. Most don't last that long. But we've got our gang here as we wrap up. Just as we went into that break, Peyton saw something that was coming out of Birmingham as far as the SEC is concerned. What's going on?
Yeah, so Dallas Turner gets...
I'm sorry. Dallas Turner, the pit that made a lot of headway last week on Jaden Daniels that knocked him out of the game. Many said it should have been targeting. It was ruled roughing the passer, probably because of that body weight aspect or driving to the ground. But Brian Kelly sent that to review for the SEC league office. They were probably going to review it anyway. But they ruled it that it was not a targeting, just like the referees did. So that's twice that has been ruled not targeting.
Boy, this isn't going to be very popular, but no. LSU will hate that.
Yeah, they will.
But I thought the crown of his helmet hit the face mask. So I don't like the way they have so closely defined targeting is. Because I think a lot of these hits need to be measured, and I don't know how you get inside of somebody's brain. There has to be a level of intent. Does there not?
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes players, quarterbacks, running backs, they duck their heads. And then you collide with helmets. Well, you know, that's on the running back, too. And this has been the most difficult. It's the most difficult call in football. It's the block charge of football.
And they continue to try to add, like, parts of the definition and try to expand what that means. But the more you expand it, it seems like the more complicated it all gets. Same with pass interference and what a catch is and whatnot. Some of the rules.
Yeah, some of these defensive backs, I don't know how they come up and make a tackle. You come in, you're hitting a defenseless receiver, or you led with your helmet, or so you're coming up trying to make an arm tackle, then you get put on the bench because you missed the tackle because you made an arm tackle. So,
right. I agree. It's gotten a little crazy, and I have never seen another team complain so much about a play.
Down 14 points also.
And there was a penalty call.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on. And wow. When you compare it to some other hits and whatnot, yes, it took the quarterback out. Yes, it did. And it probably, you know, it was a hit. And then he hit his head on the ground.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope he's okay. And
he was practicing today.
He's a phenomenal football player, but he does not slide. Never. Jane Dale's never slides.
I mean,
the more hits you're going to take.
Jalen Milroe.
True.
I mean, are we playing flag football or are we playing football?
Well, and you know
like
what?
That.
They'll
I
make
like
several
that.
Adjustments yeah. to the rule now. But I also, here's another area that I think they need to really look into. And again, it goes back to intent. But disqualifying on one target. That seems a tad extreme.
Yeah, sitting out the whole second half and then the next first half of the next game is ridiculous.
To me, that's too large a penalty. Lars, jump in here.
Well, I have a question for you guys. Is McDaniels, the LSU quarterback, NFL quarterback? Matt and I have been debating that this week.
That's such a tough line for me because he's older now. I believe this is year five or four for him, I believe. But he's getting older, and he hasn't shown it every single year. But, I mean, his down-the-field accuracy is phenomenal. But as the guys get more athletic on defense, I think that kind of offsets his running ability, which is like, I mean, he's so explosive with the ball in his hands. It's more like taking shots, being accurate down the field, and then running off of that. So I don't know how rounded out his game is in general. But he's played fantastic this year.
How about Jalen Hurts? I mean, you're looking at a quarterback that got better and
so
better.
Much better.
And he's getting better.
Jalen Hurts was a different player when he came back after. So he gets benched in the national championship. When he came back that next year in the SEC championship, he was a different player.
Yeah, we saw it at Alabama. He missed so many throws at
his
Alabama.
First 2 years
and look at him now.
As a thrower.
So
I think Jalen Miller or Jalen Hurts is a special kind of human with leadership and mentality. But
he is a special human.
Jaden Daniels, I'm not ruling him out, but I don't think he's a first round draft pick to me.
I don't know. He's a great athlete.
Great athlete.
Offenses are being changed to help these quarterbacks right there with his talent. So, I can see him getting in the right system. Having a great career. He seems like he does take too many hits, so they will. Try to get him to stop doing that as much, but
it's like every week. There's a compilation of the hits that he takes every week. It's like spinning in the air. That first one against Florida State when he like hurtled into the line of scrimmage. Like those are some ill-advised things
that
teams don't like.
That was a slam.
Trying to hurdle both lines.
Here's some more news that came out since we've been on air that Kool-Aid McKinstry and Dallas Turner have both been named Lott Trophy semifinalist, and Alabama is the only school with multiple semifinalists for this award. And the Lott Impact Award goes to the student athlete who best exhibits the characteristics of Ronnie Lott by making an impact on and off the field. And Kool-Aid and Dallas are two of nine semifinalists in the. The finalists are going to be invited to an award show in California on December 10th where the winner will be announced. But I think it underscores a larger point, and that is these not only are they phenomenal players, they are good student athletes. And also would not surprise, I don't think, anyone at this table if they both are picked in the top seven.
It sure looks like it. I expected this from Kool-Aid McKinstry. He was fantastic last year. Dallas Turner had kind of a down sophomore year when you talk about expectations. I'm really proud of the way he's grown this year. I think it's been the biggest factor for this team.
Are there two better DBs on a team than McKinstry and Malachi Moore? And start throwing in
Downs is a freshman, just getting better and better.
And he's going to be fantastic. Team in tackles half the games.
He's going to be fantastic for the next 2 years. Yeah.
When did Arnold got that blindside block on a reverse? Didn't he get on that? Against LSU, he got hurt in the first half. Yeah.
Yes.
On that blindside hit.
Yeah.
Hurt, but he played and he stayed in. He did.
Yeah, he stayed in.
But no one
said anything about that. That was a bad hit.
Head
to head smoke, right there. Yeah. But anyways, don't want to keep bringing that up.
Well, bottom line is it Daniels is okay.
Yep, he's good.
You said he's practicing this week.
I saw it when I was driving in, practicing, and could be available for the Florida game.
And you don't want to. I never hear the answer to Lars' question. Yes or no? Will he play in the NFL?
Yeah, I think he's such a great athlete, great arm, great everything. He's just got to learn how to slide.
As a starting quarterback, I think he'll be drafted into a system that will give him a chance. But he shouldn't be drafted to a team that needs a quarterback right now, and he has to be that guy the first year, in my opinion.
No Joe Burrow. You know, I'll be honest with you.
He's more than a Zach Mettenberger.
At the time, I thought that was too early. Look who's wrong now.
Yeah, look who's wrong now. $255 million later.
Do you see the money they're going to get? I'm switching sports. Otani's going to get.
No, I didn't see that.
And I think this is low, to be honest with you. 10 years.
Because of the elbow, he can't pitch next year.
10 years, $252 million.
Yeah, the upside with him is crazy.
You're getting two players.
Yeah.
And they're paying for a player and a half if they offer him that, and he takes it. So we'll see. But to the riches go the athletes, huh?
Yep. Before we do get out, besides, I want to remind everyone that it is Veterans Day weekend.
Right.
And, I have a big military family. My uncle I just lost, Major in the Marines, Alan Stout. Lost him 3 months ago, and a big part of my life, and a lot of friends serve and, made this possible for us to talk about football and play the game on Saturday for everything that they did back then. So, and still doing, keep this country free. So, very thankful for everybody, and go out there and thank a vet.
Absolutely.
And isn't it the Marines' birthday?
It is.
Yeah.
The Marines are, golly. The
Marines tomorrow, I think.
What is that anniversary? How many years?
My uncle would be mad at me. I don't know.
I don't know, but I know everybody probably knows somebody or has a relative that's in the military.
I know y'all talked about scores yesterday. What do y'all think about Bama, Kentucky? What's going to...
Scores? I can't remember what I turned in yesterday on the Tide site. I think it was somewhere around 37-14, something.
I think we're
going
to have our most points beside that first game. I think it'll be a 48-10. I'm going to let them get 10 points.
But I think
we're going to just line up and put it on them.
You got a number here?
I do.
Yeah.
45-13.
That's okay. I can see that.
45-13.
I'll say happy Veterans Day to my father, who is buried in Arlington National, served 43 years in the Navy. Dad, love you. I'm going 37-21 Alabama.
I got 37-20 because I think they come out a little slow, 11 a.m. on the road. I always kind of take that into account, but I think that they get going late. I mean, you want to see them play better first halves than they have generally this season. But
so everybody sees them covering. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Covering and winning, yes.
All right. Let's jump across the other side of the state just as we close up. Alabama and Arkansas. Anybody has
Auburn, Arkansas?
Arkansas.
Yeah, it's Auburn at Fayetteville.
I like Auburn going in there. I know Arkansas is probably going to play good against them, but I want Auburn to be winning when we play them again. Helps our strength of schedule again when we beat them at their place.
I like Arkansas in this game.
Me too.
Arkansas runs the ball. And Auburn can run as well, I think.
Orly really doesn't care because it involves Auburn.
That's right.
Okay.
Pick is DC. Don't care.
I'm more concerned about these West Coast games than games that affect
Alabama. That's crazy.
Alabama.
Look at this. All of us watching all these games because of 14 players.
Thanks for listening. Come by and see everybody at Innisfree, the Friday place to be.